Hi, and welcome to this edition of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. It is Dylan, joined alongside James. And we told you last night, James was very confident that Max Scherzer was a New York Met. We're now recording less than 24 hours later. Max Scherzer is indeed a member of the Mets rotation. James, how you doing?
It's a good day. It's a great day to be a Yankee. You know, we still have the best pitcher in New York City. Garrett Cole, you know, he stays on the mound. He stays healthy all season. So, yeah, I'm happy to be a Yankees fan.
Well, we will definitely get into that debate when we do the top 10 starting pitchers, because when I'm thinking about it right now, I'm pretty sure the Mets have numbers 1 and 2. So we will see what ends up happening there. I mean, Max Scherzer to the New York Mets. If you want to listen to our thoughts more about that, go to last night's episode, because we got into that pretty heavily, what that implications. I think the main takeaway is that the Mets are not done. Obviously, this is their big piece for the offseason. Max Scherzer, 3 years, $130 million with an opt-out after year two. But there are still reports that they're looking at Javier Baez. They're going to get a reliever or two. Maybe they poke around with a starting pitcher like Yusei Kikuchi. But I guess the one question we'll ask about the New York Mets after this is, are the Mets the NL East favorites now?
No, they're not. I mean, you have the defending World Series champions, Atlanta Braves, coming back, and they'll be getting their star center fielder back, Ronald Acuna. So no, I do not think that the Mets are division favorites. The Mets are better. They're probably better than the Phillies, but they're still not the favorites over the defending World Series champion, Atlanta Braves.
I don't know about that. If you come into a series and you're facing Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer, that's got to be a pretty intimidating factor. And yes, I know the back of the rotation definitely isn't as strong, and there's massive question marks around Carlos Carrasco's health, whether Tyler McGill can repeat himself, but that's why I think they need another veteran starting pitcher. But definitely in a span of a short series, if the Mets get to a short series playoff event or something like that, or if there's a series in late September where the Mets face off against the Braves, it is definitely important that they have both Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer healthy, doing well, pitching to their top performances and being Cy Young candidates.
Yeah, I think the only argument you can make is that the Braves' top starting pitching is also just as good as the Mets, you know, with Mike Soroka coming back, Ian Anderson, and Max Fried. I mean, you know, those are three great starting pitchers they have. And, you know, they have the back end and the bullpen to really back up those three guys.
I don't know. I understand that Fried and Soroka are great pitchers, but I don't think there's any top of the rotation in baseball that can compete with DeGrom and Scherzer.
Yeah, but I mean, the Mets bats also aren't A plus. You know, they got better. They got a couple hitters, but I mean, you still got guys like James McCann behind the plate. I mean, you need Francisco Lindor to obviously have a bounce back season. Pete Alonso probably needs to have a better season on offense and defense at first base. So there's still some question marks surrounding the New York Mets this season.
But I think they also, you can probably describe them as one of the must-see teams in baseball, especially if they get a guy like Baez back, because that's a lot of star power that, in theory, the Mets could be one of the top five teams in baseball. However, I feel like we've said that before with the Mets, and we've watched them crash and burn. This seems like a very boom or bust-esque team, but having Scherzer and DeGrom, as well as you mentioned, Lindor, Alonso, Starling Marte is in a pretty electric baseball player, especially if they get Javier Baez back. The Mets are going to be must-watch TV on most nights.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. They're going to be flashy. They're going to be exciting to watch, but that doesn't mean they're going to win baseball games.
I don't know. If you watch Max Scherzer go out there on the mound, every time he pitches, you think you're going to win a baseball game.
Yeah, but that's when he played for, I mean, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I mean, the Washington Nationals, I mean, not obviously last year's Washington Nationals don't really count towards that, but you know, the Nationals had some pretty good sticks. So the Mets still need to show you. I mean, DeGrom's record isn't too good every year, and he has a low CRA in baseball. So hopefully the Mets can give Scherzer some run support, because they haven't been able to do that for DeGrom the last three seasons.
And I guess that is the only other follow-up question. Do you think this is it for the Mets? With obviously nothing's getting bigger than Max Scherzer, but is this the last big signing that they have this offseason, or do you think they could get a Javier Baez, a back end of the rotation type, something that bolsters the roster still?
I mean, you really can't predict it, because we don't know how much Cohen's willing to spend. Like, dude, he could say he's got another $50 million he's willing to spend. Like, he's already eclipsed the tax by so much that why not go all in? Why not just say F it and just spend $100 million over the tax? So, I mean, we could see another move by the Mets here by today or tomorrow before the lockdown.
I think the Mets make another move today. Will it require an instant reaction? Probably not. It could be Javier Baez. I also think there's a chance Michael Conforto comes back. And I know everyone's saying there's no way acquiring Mark Canha to be your everyday right fielder probably ended that. But I'm just thinking, who knows, especially with after Scherzer coming back. Scherzer is another Boris guy. And everyone used to think, oh, the Mets and Boris don't do business. They clearly now are able to willing and work out contracts. So if Michael Conforto sees the strength of the Mets, who knows, maybe if the Mets were to say, hey, Michael, 1 year, $22 million pillow contract, take it or leave it. Maybe he ends up taking it, or it's someone as simple as Javier Baez, because he seems to fit the Mets still regardless of their signings. And apparently Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson are still big fans of his. The other massive signing that happened today, and this is sort of feeling like the trade deadline with everyone feeling the urge to do something right before the deadline. The Texas Rangers are going all in, chips on the table. They signed Corey Seager to a 10-year, $325 million deal. I know we talked about Semien yesterday saying the Rangers are improving and they could be a threat in the AL West. Now what's the situation with Texas?
I mean, just once again, why would you trade Gallo? Like, it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. Like by the time the Rangers are good, these guys are going to be on the back half of their contracts. You know, they're going to be on the, starting their decline. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, it doesn't seem like they don't have anyone right now that really, besides Adolis Garcia, that really screams like good player. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you can't just plug these two guys in. So, like, dude, their pitching staff, Dane Dunning is their one. Coby Allard, John King, Taylor Hearn, and Spencer Howard. Like, you're not going to win baseball games with this, like, this squad. This is a very bad team. And it doesn't make sense, because unless they're going to commit a lot more money into the smaller starting pitchers left. Oh, I forgot they signed John Gray also, so he'll be their one. But unless they're going to commit a lot more money into this pitching staff, it doesn't make any sense. Like, unless I'm just, like, missing that they have, like, the greatest pitching prospect of all time, like, it doesn't make sense to me at all why the Rangers would make some of the moves. Trading away Kyle Gibson to the Phillies, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, these moves don't make sense.
This seems like where the Mets were after they signed Eduardo Escobar. I was like, okay, he's a solid player in a vacuum, but what does that mean? What's the domino effect? What's going to take place after this move? But the only difference is that Eduardo Escobar was $20 million on a team that seemed destined to compete and sign even bigger pieces. Corey Seager's the starting point for the Texas Rangers. Same with Marcus Semien. They need to build a lot around them. And I'll say more that someone like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa has proven he can be a solid defender. He can be a piece that maybe sticks at third base for them. But their outfield, as you mentioned, it's Cole Calhoun, who they just signed, Adolis Garcia, who kind of profiles more like a DH, and then Billy McKinney, who, yes, Mets fans know and love Billy McKinney, but by no means is he a contending team's everyday center fielder. Same with Willie Calhoun. So the Rangers have a lot of holes to fix. Unless this is sort of like their Jason Worth-esque contract with the Washington Nationals a couple years ago, where they signed Worth saying that we're going to start to become contenders, and by year two, year three of his contract, we're really going to step it up. But again, you just invested $325 million in a player, so I assume you want to start competing right now.
Yeah, I actually just looked at, pulled up the Rangers' top prospects. You know, obviously they got Jack Leiter, who's still a good three or four seasons away. Josh Jung should be coming up next year to play third base for them. Cole Wynn will also be making an appear, probably be coming up and be a right-handed starter for them. And they also have Sam Huff, who's also ready to catch or play first base for them. So, I mean, now that I look at this, it definitely makes a little bit more sense. But I mean, yeah, they really are going to have to start dipping into this farm system and really start calling guys up, because there's no more time to wait.
So the third big deal that happened today is Robbie Ray is on his way to Seattle. He signed a 5-year, $115 million contract. I guess the Mariners are also pushing for it. I don't really get, the Astros are still a really good team, but I guess every team in the AL West is thinking Oakland's on the decline. So Seattle, Texas, and the Angels are thinking maybe we can become the two, even push the Astros in the division. Would you? Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, just look at the standings from last year. The Astros only won that division by 5 games. Like, that was a lot closer of a division than people remember. So I think these teams are seeing, like, you know, they're going to lose Correa. They're losing some pieces here and there. And yeah, I mean, you have to make a push at some point. And I think teams are saying this is their year. I mean, we're going to see Julio Rodriguez come up for the Mariners this year again. You know, they already got Jared Kelnick up there. They're a young team and they're good. They're a good team. And I think Robbie Ray makes a lot of sense going to Seattle to fill in the spot of get an upgrade for Kikuchi. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I think it's great to see the Mariners finally start to commit some money to some players.
Who do you have more confidence in going into next season, the Rangers or the Mariners?
I mean, the Mariners just won 90 games, so I think it's stupid to say the Mariners. But also, the Mariners got so – they had a negative 50 run differential. They still won 90 games. Like, that's unheard of.
Yeah, and I think in general, the Seattle Mariners also – Jared Kelenic's going to rebound. Mitch Haniger's going to rebound. They have all the pieces there that you can see the hype coming. And, yes, you just mentioned all those Texas Rangers prospects, but none of them have actually done anything in the majors yet. Plus, they all seem like they're a little bit – farther away, and as we can tell from what happened with Kelenic this past year, top prospects tend to take a little time to get used to the big league. So now that Kelenic's in his sophomore season, I'd rather have him and trust him a little bit more than those actual Texas Rangers prospects.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
A couple other minor signings that did happen today that we can shout out and say good for these teams being active before the deadline. The Miami Marlins acquired catcher Jacob Stallings from the Pittsburgh Pirates. I know the Yankees had interest in him. I think the Mariners also expressed interest in him, but he ends up going to the Marlins in exchange for 3 other players. None really noteworthy: outfield prospect Connor Scott, pitching prospect Kyle Nicholas, and right-hander Zach Thompson. In general, is this just the Marlins doing a solid move, but probably not competing next year?
I mean, dude, I still think all of these, like, when teams make moves like these and they make themselves a little bit more competitive, like, these division, like, these top teams beat up on each other, dude. Like, if you could take care of business outside your division and then, you know, play close to 500 in the NL East next year, you have a chance to win that division. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be so close in all these divisions. All these teams are competitive now. So, all it takes is one skid from one of those teams that's supposed to win the division, and you could easily slide in there and make a wild card spot or win your division, especially with this new expanded format that was just put out today by the major leagues.
So what James is indeed saying, and it's not official yet, but Jeff Passan is saying in a last-ditch effort to potentially avoid the lockdown, there is a new proposal out there. I forget which side submitted it. I can double-check, but it was saying a 14-team playoff where, let's see what this says, in a proposed playoff expansion, there would be 14 teams. Division winners would choose their opponents in a 3-game wildcard round, and the best league in the division, or the best record in the league, would get a bye into the division series. I don't know exactly how that works. I doubt it actually gets accepted because we've come this far, so why would there not be a lockdown at this point? But it's definitely an interesting idea to expand the playoffs and sort of benefit the middle ground in baseball and would avoid tanking because now more teams would get into the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't like half the league making the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine winning 100+ games and being knocked out by a team that's like under 500 or like at 500? Cause just baseball is baseball. Like, that's just dumb.
Like, winning the division doesn't mean that much anymore. Yes. You get to pick your, opponent, but is that really that much of a benefit as opposed to just normally where you're already guaranteed a division spot as opposed to facing this wild card format, which seems a little odd. But trust me, we will have a lot of time throughout the upcoming months to discuss the proposals and all the other stuff that could be happening until everything settles down in February.
I've already always hated the division series format itself. Like, the fact that, you know, you play 165 games to have your season come down to 3 games in the first round of the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. or 162 games. I'm sorry, not 165 games, but I just think it's so dumb. Like why are we letting it come down to like a best of three series? Like, I don't know. It makes no sense. I don't get why every single round in the baseball is just a best of seven. Like, I feel like that would just fix everything. But yeah, I obviously have the wild card. The wild card should also be a best of three. Everything should just flip. Everything should just flip. You know, we're to James's playoff proposal. The wild card's best of three. Like every other baseball series is during the course of the 162-game season. Then every round after that is best of seven, so you don't have some stupid fluke stuff and get a team that doesn't deserve to be further in the playoffs. That way, we could truly, truly see what team is built for October. And who doesn't like November baseball? Because I know I do.
Coming full circle, I am fully on board with a three-game series now that I could have Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer lining up for the Mets, and that would be an intimidating three-game series. These other signings, if there's any that stand out to you, Brooks Raley signed with the Rays, Yankees signed former Met bench mob legend Jose Peraza, the Nationals reunited with Luis Avilan, the Braves signed Darren O'Day, who's coming off of an injury but hopes to rebound this year, and the Pirates signed Jared Eichhoff, who I know Mets fans cannot be any more happier that he is off the Mets and will not be signing with them, Jared Eichhoff, to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I think the Pirates also just signed Ben Gamel to about a $1.5 billion deal. So, you know, Pirates, you know, big name, big team. We're looking to compete in the NL Central these next couple of years.
I think that is one of the teams that we can say will not be competing next year, despite the middle ground getting better.
You know, I don't think the Pirates will ever trade a pitcher from their roster again. I mean, we have Garrett Cole, Charlie Morton,
Tyler Glasnow,
and then, I mean, Clay Holmes also last year going to the Yankees. I mean, he turned into one of the best relievers for the Yankees and really in baseball in the second half of that season. So I think the Pirates should just stop trading pitchers. And yeah, that would really benefit their team, their organization.
All righty. And I guess instead of the regular sign and a trade, we'll go with sign and the trade of tonight. Do we believe that anything will happen today, Monday, or maybe we're in the clear for the rest of the day, unless Javier Baez, Trevor Story, someone like that decides to ruin our night?
Story will definitely get signed somewhere. I think Story and Baez definitely want to get their deals done tonight. Teams seem to be happy to pull the trigger and spend money. So yeah, I think a deal could easily be done for one of those guys, if not both, by the end of this evening.
Well, now you got to give us a team because you said Scherzer to the Mets and that happened.
man, I like Baez to Philadelphia. I really don't see the Mets having much more money to spend. I really think that they need to bolster their bullpen. There's big arms like Iglesias and Jansen still out there. And the Mets should shift their focus towards those guys. I like Baez to Philly. Gregorius has kind of been a miss for the Phillies the last couple of seasons. Maybe they could is he a free agent, or maybe he's got 1 year left on that deal?
He's got 1 year left, but they're trying to trade him.
That's what I'm saying. They could probably get out of that contract somehow. They could get a bad team to eat that money for him if they threw in a prospect or two. And I think the Yankees have already shown that they're not going to get Correa. Like, Yankees fans, Correa's not coming home. Or not even coming home. He's not coming to New York. So I'd say the Yankees are going to get Trevor Story.
I was actually going to potentially do the exact opposite because I thought Trevor Story to the Phillies made sense. Exact same rationale you were using. And then Javier Baez does not fit the Yankee way at all. But I can see that happening. So do I go exact opposite of you, or do I just side retired as a united unit today, and we'll say Trevor Story to the Yankees, Javier Baez to the Phillies? I'll go united with you. We'll go Trevor Story signs with the Yankees, Javier Baez with the Phillies, but watch out. I believe the Mets also make another move tonight. I don't know what it's for, but I just think the Mets are doing something the rest of the night. All righty. Well, I guess that's pretty much all we have for now. Another emergency Scherzer, Seager, Robbie Ray, Jacob Stallings edition. Deadline is quickly approaching us, which means in all likelihood you'll hear us either tomorrow. If not, we'll be back probably when the lockdown starts, Thursday or Friday, just checking in and seeing what to expect for the next couple of months. But James, unless there's anything else you have to add for now.
No, I think that's it. Great, another great day of baseball on Twitter.
Sounds good. And maybe we should do this lockdown thing more often, because all of a sudden these are pretty exciting days in baseball. But I know we're going to listen to this recording 2 months from now and saying lockdown is the worst thing that's ever happened. We're bored out of our mind. But that is a thought for next time. As for now, the side is retired.